It is time for another journey deep into the lining of the magical talking hat. Hat wranglers Tony and William reach into the yawning chasm that is the hat and pull forth the questions you have posed. Will they tire of your question quickly? Is your name Azhatalin? Then perhaps they will. But then perhaps not. But that will remain a mystery until we venture into the magical talking hat.
Greetings from the chair. I now have a side table, so it is more functional, although I'm really, really giving assisted living hospital bed energy, I think, this whole sort of vibe here.
Maybe.
But rest assured, I'm not ill, I'm just comfortable.
Yeah, that's good.
The side table is not doing what I wanted it to do. Which was sort of to swivel out. Basically, it's useless if I need to use the keyboard, but it is useful if I just can use the mouse over here. So it's going to be good for podcasting and for D&D and stuff like that, but I'm still looking at other options. I just needed something. As big as this chair is, it cannot hold all the supplies I have at any given time. So, the holidays. They're just like us. Who needs them? No. We went on. I'm not going to go on at length about my hatred for the holidays again. But I do want to say one of the side effects of all of the stress of this time is my memory, which has been starting to slip, is starting to slip even more right now. Just a lot. Been very forgetful lately. A lot of stress signs also. I've been having headaches and stuff because of the holidays. But anyway. And I see it in my wife, too. She's been more and more forgetful. And often it's just little stuff. Oh, I was going to go to the store, and I didn't do that. Or you know, we were supposed to do this thing, and I forgot. I forgot to defrost whatever I'm cooking tonight or whatever. Or sure. Sometimes I almost burn down my goddamn house.
Oh. What happened?
Well, I'll give you the long version, because that's the only version I know of these kind of things. So, on nights where we play D&D, I need to come up with a fast, easy-to-make supper.
Sure.
Because, since, generally speaking, I pick up we only have the one car, and usually I keep it. I need to go get her when she gets off work at 5, come back, make supper before gaming at 6. And I can do the prep beforehand, but I can't really do the cooking because I'm not going to leave the house with like the oven on and shit.
Correct.
Like that, because
correct.
That's insane. Yeah. So sometimes I come up with little things. And I came up the other day, I was going to make my wife's favorite comfort food, chicken and noodles. It is real dirtbag level. It is canned chicken broth, and then frozen, like, country-style egg noodle kind of things. And basically just that with salt and pepper, and you're done. She likes it. I can't adjust it at all. It's fine. But so I'm trying to sort of get ahead of the game. So I put the chicken and the broth in, because you got to boil it, and then you'll add the noodles. And so I turn it on high to boil it for a little bit or whatever. But just to sort of get things moving, and then I'll turn it off before I leave. And I got to turn off the dryer, too, because as we know, our dryer doesn't work, et cetera, et cetera. Or our dryer doesn't turn off on its own. So, anyway, do all this, finish up, go pick up Trish. She's a little bit late because of work-related things, later than usual, by a few minutes. We're talking whatever. We come home. We go to the house. We open it up. The entire house just completely full of smoke.
Oh, no.
And Trish doesn't really know what's going on for sure. She's like, why is it foggy in here? That's what she told me she was thinking. I immediately am like, oh, fuck, I know what this is. I didn't turn the burner off. So I left a big pot with canned chicken and like an inch of broth in it on high.
Oh, no.
And then the real fun bit, the fire, the smoke alarm that I recently just installed, brand new, not making a single bit of noise. So,
oops.
Working on that as well.
Yeah.
So yeah, thank goodness this was on a night that was above freezing.
Oh.
Because we basically had to open as much of the house as we could to get this out. So I was opening the front door, and I was even opening the back door, which doesn't have a screen, because I really needed sort of that cross breeze, but there's no screen. And so I kept having to watch out for Addy that he might like sneak out or whatever. So, and eventually I had to close it because he eventually figured it out and was way too interested. So,
yeah.
And our house just stank. Looked up online about this stuff, because I was like, okay, do all of our belongings have smoke damage now? Like, have I ruined all the stuff we own? Like, was it? Apparently in this kind of situation, if there was no actual fire or anything, things are okay. Traditionally, it can take anyway from 2 days to a week for the smell to go away.
Huh.
But there are things you can do to help. One of the weird ones, just boil some water. Because apparently the water vapor in the air will sort of catch the particles that are still making the smell. And or boil some water and put things in it that smell better, which is what I did. I got some cinnamon sticks and I got mulling spices, basically, but like the whole ones.
Right, right.
And then an orange and slice it up and boiled that all day long, just kept adding more water to it. And our house smelled so Christmassy. And you now
potpourri it
back to normal.
Isn't that what potpourri is? Just what you did?
I mean, potpourri often is dry.
Oh, yeah.
It just sits there and it's just dried flowers and herbs to smell the place.
But, true, true.
But yeah, so glad that just about done with all the important holiday related things. Like, we still have the holiday, but that's pretty chill. It's all we've done the shopping and the planning. I have shipped out boxes of treats for people and things like that. So
good.
I don't remember if I mentioned, but you ain't getting shit from me this year.
You did mention that.
All right. I just want to make sure your expectations are where they should be.
Uh-huh.
And yeah. I don't know. Depending on how the relationship goes, maybe you'll never get another. We'll have to see. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Magical Talking Hat Podcast, the only podcast that still smells a little bit like smoke. I'm Tony.
And I'm William, and this is episode 719, which should be after Christmas, right? Right after?
Yes, we established that 718 was our Christmas episode, in which at length we discussed why I don't like the holidays. So, how was your Christmas?
Well, Christmas by now will have been, let's see, the on the solstice, we would have gone to down back to Marion County to celebrate with the family a little bit. And then Christmas Day, Christmas Eve, just by ourselves. I'm pretty certain that's going to be how it is.
And Santa. They say wherever two people are, Santa is also there.
So I don't think we're doing anything on Christmas Eve besides our usual thing. We'll watch Miracle on 34th Street and all that. And Christmas Day, I'm pretty sure we're also, it's just going to be Abby and me, because everyone else is going to be celebrating with their other extended family or whatever. And then maybe the day after, or maybe the weekend after, we'll have the grandkids and stuff over. But we don't know that for sure yet. It could be Boxing Day. Yeah. It could be that we do have them on Christmas Day. What it depends on is the kids are still working out the details of the son-in-law's family, what they're doing. And once they've figured that out, you know, we defer to them. If they're going to have Christmas, well, then we won't. And if they're not, then we will. Because it doesn't bother us what day we do it. But some people are really picky about that, as you know. So,
yeah.
But we're ready for it either way, whatever they decide, we're ready.
Yeah.
What about you?
Well, it'd be in Chillicothe, as we are wont to do. I believe we are going to leave Monday the 23rd, come back Thursday the 26th. And we just about have all of our I believe we have all of our presents taken care of that involve shopping in physical space.
Yeah.
So,
Yeah, I
and
would
we're close
assume.
today when we are recording, which is the
19.
19th of December, is Trish's last day in the office this year.
Yeah, that's my last day in the office today, too.
Yeah. She'll be working from home tomorrow, and then I think then she's taking the next 2 weeks off completely. I think maybe one day she's gonna work part of a day or something, but it'll all be here, and for the most part, she'll just be off work. So that'll be fun. And I mean, most of that first week will be taken up going for Christmas, but you know, I kind of, I mean, there are a fair number of housekeeping things that can't stop. If we're here, I have to do dishes, I have to do laundry, I have to make food, things like that. But in terms of my broader chores, when Trish is on vacation and but at home, I'm often on vacation. I have decided long ago. So it'll be a pretty more relaxed thing for me. And also, I won't have to be doing this because we're doing a double today. So I don't think we're doing anything again till New Year, till after the New Year. So.
Which reminds me, do you have plans for New Year's this year?
No, ever since the party sort of fell apart, we just hang out at home. Sometimes Trish makes it to midnight, sometimes she doesn't. I do because it's, you know, a day off or whatever, and I like staying up late when I can, so. All right. Before we get to it, which we're gonna have to do at some point here. Have you got it? I have a list of movies I have seen. I'm gonna split them up because we have to do two episodes because I have very little else going on. Have you been watching anything that is interesting?
We saw Red One.
Did you?
Yeah. Just curious
And?
about
Oh, I'm also curious about it.
it. It was close, in my opinion. It was close to being one of those movies that, you know, people who like Christmas would probably watch every year. And there are some people who are saying that they're going to watch it every year. It was close to being that. It didn't quite hit the mark for me. But there were a lot of things I liked about it. A lot of things I liked about it. But it missed the mark just by a little bit.
I very likely expect that I will see it within this season. I'll just either be with the family, like we'll see it during Christmas, because that's a movie we all can appreciate or whatever, or at home and high. Like those are the only two reasons, the only two ways I would want to see it. So one of those or the other. I don't think I said this before, and I haven't watched it yet. Otherwise, this whole episode would probably be about this. So as we all know, I love Dropout, the streaming service. And I love all the people who are on there regular. And there is one that does a lot of the improv stuff and has their own show where they interview fake celebrities and stuff, whose name is Vic Michaelis. And I am a big fan of theirs. And I recently, just with a throwaway line on an episode of Make Some Noise that caused me to look it up online, learned that last year Hallmark released a holiday film called Round and Round, in which a woman essentially gets Groundhog Day'd on the day of her parents' Hanukkah party, and romance blossoms due to time loops or whatever. And the lead in it is Vic Michaelis. So I am super excited to see that. I love them. I don't know. Obviously, they didn't write the material or whatever, but I'm as somebody who is just a improv powerhouse, I'm really eager to see what that looks like. So I'm excited for that one. Red one, less excited, but I'm sure I will watch.
It's one of those things that I will watch again just to see if I have a different response to it the second time. I'm not sure I will, but I will see it a second time just to see. Because maybe I'll see a second time and think, oh no, yeah, I do want to see this every year or whatever. But I mean, like Spirited, we've watched that pretty much every year now because we really like it, you know. So we do watch newer things, and then like, yeah, we're gonna keep watching this. But
Yeah.
not this one didn't quite hit it, but maybe if I watched it again, I'd change my mind. We'll see.
What I've garnered from the vibrations on my pop culture web, as I sit in the middle and plot my plans, is it has not done very well critically or commercially. And if the consensus could be boiled down to a single word, I think I would say soulless. It appears that either this is the most Red Notice of Red Notices, or it's just the final Red Notice straw that broke the public's back. Painfully generic is a very specific term I have seen come up multiple times from different sources. So that's the vibe I'm getting, but I guess we will see.
I mean,
Have you not been watching any TV shows?
We've been watching the Dune TV show.
Oh, the new Dune Prophecy or whatever.
Yeah.
Did you watch both of the Villeneuve movies?
Yes.
Okay. We didn't watch the second one. I think about it, but I doubt I'll watch it.
We're watching Silo
Oh yeah.
and
I saw, I don't want to say commercials. When you go into Apple, they're real big on telling you about Silo again.
it's pretty good. And the season two right now. And Oak Island started up again, so we're watching that.
Ooh.
This is season 12.
I'm excited because hopefully it'll also spill over into the macros a little bit. We'll see. Justin's a big Oak Island head.
We watch a Paranormal on tape still, which is
There's
very
still more
entertaining.
of them? You
There's like
damn.
eight seasons or something. They're short seasons though, 'cause I think we're like through to the fourth season or something, but
I was talking to my neighbor. So apparently, I mean, we've had a couple versions of this, but the government has admitted that aliens are real, which I feel like they did this a while ago and they just admitted that they occasionally see things they don't know what they are. But somebody in some hearing that has been published, some general was asked, like, very specifically if there exists military research and development technology that is based on extraterrestrial technology. And he said, I signed an NDA 3 years ago. I can't talk about it. And they were like, but if there wasn't anything there, there wouldn't be anything to not talk about. And he's like, that's correct. So everybody's like, there's aliens. Except nobody seems to give a shit. But my neighbor does. And I was like, yeah, I'm still not convinced. Like, if for no other reason than statistically, the odds of it being true are insane. And they were like, but you know, it could happen. And I was just like, okay, I'll put it this way. Ghosts could be real.
Yes.
I don't believe in ghosts. If a general publicly said the government is aware of ghosts and they're real, if that was all I got, I still would not believe in ghosts. I would need more than that.
Yeah, me too. Yep.
And way more likely to be like, the government wants us to think that there's aliens for some other, like, that's more believable than there actually.
Well, and there are other people in the military who say, I don't know why he said that. That's ridiculous. And they seem credible. Like they're not just don't want you to know. Or maybe they're not. I don't know. But the thing is, if one person says something and the other person says the opposite, and you have no reason to trust one person over the other, you have no reason, you have no evidence to show that one person's more credible than the other, well, what are you supposed to do? And there are many scientists who say, we don't understand how this would even work. And I
Yeah.
know people can say, well, maybe it's a physics we don't understand, but there's a limit to that argument.
Yeah.
There's
Now,
limits to how
again,
far that argument could go.
this is my belief that this is the objective truth thing. There's definitely an answer. There is or there isn't.
I agree. Agree. Yeah.
And we don't know.
No.
So my theory is there's definitely. But the ghost thing reminded me, because that was the thing. He's like, there might be ghosts. And I was like, yeah, there might be ghosts. That's another thing. Objective truth. There are or there aren't.
Right.
We don't know. I don't think.
Yeah, that's kind of my position on things too. But I mean, to me, that's what a skeptic is. A skeptic is admits, frankly, that we don't know for any kind of scientific or empirical whatever. And like you just said, there's an answer because these are claims that people are making about the real world, right? This isn't someone's opinion about whether or not God exists, for example. This is like, this happens in the real world, is what the claim is. Which means that we should all be able to experience it if it happens in front of our faces. So there's an answer. Like you said, there is an answer. What is it? Well, extraordinary claims require extraordinary evidence. And a general, like you said, a general saying something in a hearing is not extraordinary evidence, especially when there are generals who say the opposite. Scientists saying something is not extraordinary. Oh, a scientist is not extraordinary evidence when you've got scientists saying the exact opposite. And there's no physical evidence. No empirical material evidence to give you a reason to take one way or the other. Now, it's also perfectly acceptable for a skeptic to say all that, to say, I don't know, but I'm going to live my life as if it's not. I mean, I'm not going to organize my life around the idea that aliens or ghosts exist. Obviously, I'm going to organize my life around the idea that they don't. Like, if I hear a noise, I'm not immediately going to think ghosts. I'm not going to do anything in my house to prepare for ghosts being here. I don't know if they
I
exist,
do,
but I'm
but
not going to act like they do.
it's more of a entertaining thing. I keep a stock of ghost snacks. It's not scared or protection. If like I
Ghost
don't think
snacks.
they exist, but if they showed up and I had no hospitality to offer them, I would die right then and become a ghost. So I
To be
don't
safe.
believe, but the one in a billion chance, I keep entertaining supplies around
I mean,
for ghosts.
you're joking, but there are people who have that kind of attitude too. It's like, I don't believe, but just in case, I'm
Chocolate
gonna.
Ouija board.
Yeah, I'm gonna wear a cross just in case or whatever it is.
Come on, I thought that was better than. Oh my
But
God,
no,
I
I
was
don't.
so mad the other day. I was hanging out with people and we were talking about the concept of cosmic horror and giant beings recognizable. Anyway, the phrase came up. So supposedly to Cthulhu, we are just like ants to him. I believe he said, we are like ants to Cthulhu. And we are like, okay. And he started to go on, and I quietly said, yeah, Cthulhu's my sister's kid. And nobody laughed, and I was pissed off because I thought that was an incredibly good joke.
That's pretty good. Yeah.
I'm like an aunt to Cthulhu because it's my sister's kid. I remember Cthulhu when they were this tall, but nobody did. And you know me, like if I do a joke that I'm really proud of and it does not get the response, I will stop the conversation and be like, you all need to do better. And you know this because I've done this on the podcast. I've done this with you in
No.
private.
All
I do
right.
this with my wife in private. I want recognition when I do a good one, and that was a good one.
Pretty good, yep.
I want to briefly touch on, we just finished the first and at this point only season of the franchise on Max.
Yeah, I've seen ads for that.
I was mostly drawn to it because it had a cast I am in love with. It had Himesh Patel, who somebody's becoming a big thing right now. He played Jeevan in Station 11, and I hated that, but I've now seen him in a couple of places, and he's growing on me. Loli Adefope, I love. Aya Cash, I'm pretty big fan of. Richard E. Grant was in there, and I'm a huge fan of his. So I was just very, oh, and Jessica Hines was in there, And she hardly ever seems to get like into big broad stuff, and I love her as well. So I was very excited, and we started watching it, and it's, I guess it's a parody of making Marvel films.
Yeah, that's what I noticed. It made me interested in it too to see, but I
Like
haven't.
it's very much, it's a comedy. It's a straight up single cam sitcom. But it is the making of a film, a superhero film called Tecto, which is the name of the superhero, that is one of the non-tentpole films of a superhero franchise, a cinematic universe, as it were. And the hijinks ensuing, both in terms of lots of stuff about just making movies, but also the bullshit that happens in the background and how something changing. Like, I think in the pilot, there's an entire race of people that are in this movie, and they're like, yeah, we had to kill them off in this other one, so you can't use them anymore. This bigger, more important film committed genocide on those people because we had to do a script change, and that just fit well. So, like, that's the first episode, I think, is that. It's very good. It's very funny. It's a little butthole clenching for somebody with anxiety like me because some of it feels real. Like, some of it's very over the top bullshit, but some of it, I'm like, I bet this shit has happened. And I get this weird empathy for people making Marvel movies that I've never met and mostly don't know, but like it just feels too real. So every once in a while, I'm just like, oh, I don't like this. This is so bad. This is so, because it's constant. The format essentially is every episode there becomes a situation where you are damned if you do and damned if you don't. But it ended, I wouldn't say it ended on a cliffhanger. I mean, it a little bit did, but mostly it resolved what was happening, and then it just did a little at the end for like, here's how we can make more stuff. And looking online, it hasn't been canceled or renewed or anything, but it seems like it's been well received in terms of viewership and critic. So, I'm hoping it goes on, and I think I would recommend it. It's very good. We also just finished up season two of Somebody Somewhere on Max. Still highly recommend that series. The third season is out now, and apparently it is the intentionally final season. So the whole thing is wrapped now. That one gets you in the feels. That one is a little emotionally harder, but it's also still just a goofy as shit comedy. And if, like me, you really enjoy that sort of heartwarming found chosen family kind of shit, which I love. This one really threads the needle of it's about chosen family. It's also about family. And it's very interesting because like Trish was having trouble with the second season, but then we discussed it. And I think they're really good on sort of their themes. Like season one was sort of about this, and once we talked about that, she's like, now I like it better. And it's got a bunch of people that we love, including people that we didn't know until this show, and now we love them. So I would recommend checking that out. Because we finished that, I need to pick a new show because franchise was mine. Trisha's new show was Bad Monkey on Apple.
Never heard of it.
It might be based off of a book. I don't know. It is set in the Florida Keys and a little bit Miami and a little bit Bermuda, and it's essentially a comedic murder mystery kind of thing, with a character who, when we start out, is a suspended cop, but who nevertheless is digging into this when he shouldn't be or whatever. And the main thing about it is, it's Vince Vaughn. And he's the main character. And if you like Vince Vaughn, he's very Vince Vaughn-y in this. And at first, originally, I was like, oh, did it have to be him? It's so. And then as it went on, I'm like, no, it definitely did. This character is designed to be only Vince Vaughn can pull off. I run hot and cold on Vince Vaughn. I feel like he has a shtick, and after a while, it's just there. Like halfway through every episode, I kind of know what he's gonna. He does these. It's actually a very similar comedic style to me, and I hate my own comedic style. But just a lot of just casual talking and commentary running on everything and stuff that's funny. So I get a little bit tired of his stuff, but it's a very funny show, and the mystery is interesting. I'm curious where it'll go, and it has a good ensemble. There's actually the one I would say is probably qualifies as the female lead. We've got a little will they won't they, but she, who I'm not an actor I'm familiar with, and Vince Vaughn have great chemistry, so I'm really enjoying that. And there's just a lot of goofy stuff. There's an omniscient narrator, but he's also an actual character in the show. So that gets a little weird, and it gets very self-referential. Like, we watched the second episode, and he was like, serious, like during the recap that he did the previously, he's like, seriously, you need a recap after one episode? All right, fine. And then he goes through. And, like, after the second one, he's like, okay, these recaps are going to start getting shorter now because you should know what's going on. And so that's kind of fun. So, yeah, I don't know. It's very much how you feel about this one. All right. That's enough stalling. Let's do this. We have one email. It's from Azure Talon.
Oh, yeah.
We have had multiple conversations that boil down to what the hell are we going to do with this? But it is what it is. So let's do it. And I leave it to you to both read it and try and describe what you're looking at.
Well, the email just says, heckin' good host. That's us, I guess.
I appreciate that.
That's nice.
Good. We are pretty heckin' good.
Heckin' good. He says, I like this overall. And he's talking about a meme that he attached a meme, which is obviously we can't show it to you. We don't know how to show it to you.
We could put it on. We're not going to. but we will. By which I mean William, will describe it at the end.
Yeah, I'll try to describe it. He says, I like this overall, but I think it's calling MAGA, Make America Great Again, Trump supporters, in case you don't know. I think it's calling MAGA gay, which MAGA will hate, but I don't know if it's okay to judo homophobia on homophobes. Azure Talent. So
I think the judo is a reference of using your own strength, using your opponent's strength against you, kind of thing.
That's what judo
That's
does?
My guess. I'm not saying it's a good metaphor. I'm saying I think that's the metaphor he's using.
And it looks like it was on Reddit. And there's the meme is one of those split down the middle things where there's a contrast being shown, a picture on the left and a picture on the right.
I actually am excited to hear you try and explain this picture. This is going to be fun.
And the picture on the left shows it's photoshopped obviously to show a person with a MAGA hat on backwards, a red Make America Great Again hat on backwards, like they're putting on a Punisher logo on their truck. And and the caption says, guys who put Punisher logo on their truck. And I don't know how to describe this actually. I'm not sure if I didn't see what Azure Talon wrote, if I'd really even understand the gay reference, but I think they're trying to suggest that the person on the left, the MAGA person on the left, who's putting a Punisher logo, Punisher being a Marvel character who is a vigilante and so on, in case you didn't know that, is effeminate, I guess, or gay, not really. I think the suggestion is supposed to be that this person wouldn't really have the guts or the courage or whatever to do Punisher stuff. They just put Punisher logos on things. I don't know what that has to do with being gay, except I mean, is the word where I'm looking for here sissy? They're trying to say that these guys are sissies. Is that what they're trying to say?
I think that's apt. I think that's a succinct, simple way to put this. Yes.
Okay. So then on the other side, the other side's supposed to represent a guy who actually does Punisher things. And it's one of the surveillance photos of Luigi Mangione, who shot the United Healthcare CEO, whose name escapes me for some reason. I want to say Brian Thomas, but maybe I'm wrong about that. But I remember the perpetrator's name because it's been in the news a lot lately. And the meme seems to be, yeah, calling MAGA conservative sissies, but this person who killed a insurance executive, I don't know if it's saying he's heroic or I don't really know what the point is. I don't know if it's trying to celebrate the guy who shot the executive or if it's just making the point of, I don't know what the point it's making. Do you know what point it's making exactly?
Thank you. You've done very well. I did. I very intentionally had you do it because first, 100%, because I found it amusing. This was for my entertainment. I am now going to translate and paraphrase what William said, and hopefully people will understand. So yeah, it's a two panel meme, in which the first panel says, I believe, people who put a Punisher sticker on their car. And the second panel says people who actually do Punisher shit. The first panel has a redheaded gentleman with a close trimmed beard, wearing a MAGA hat and a fairly revealing and tight white tank top, I believe, and very tight shorts. And the maneuver in which he is putting the sticker on his back window involves him sticking his ass way out. It is... imagine a frat boy went to a costume party as a gay dude. This is what this guy looks like, and this is the kind of pose that a straight homophobic frat boy would consider to be a gay pose.
So it kind of looks like he's twerking, I guess, in a way.
Yeah, a prominent display of ass in a very stereotypically camp way. And then the other picture is just the guy who shot the CEO. This guy's. It's a shot from when you couldn't really see his
face. Oh, he has a mask on, right. Yeah.
People who do actual Punisher shit. So, the implication is that people who put the Punisher logo on their vehicle or display it as though to signal that they will do some shit like the Punisher anti-hero are not the people who do that. In fact, they are secretly just wimps, wusses, gay, I guess. Sissy is probably a good example. But that all of the terrible stereotypes aside, that they are all talk and just weak. And that if you really were going to do some of this violent vigilante justice, you would not talk about it. And you would be like, you don't want. You don't brag about that kind of shit because that makes it harder to do that kind of shit. This appears to be what the meme is about.
Oh, so all talk. Okay. I get it. Is it just a statement to be humorous, or is there some kind of political message that's meant here? Aside from the fact that it seems kind of insulting to gay people.
Yeah, no, definitely that. Definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Okay. I'm glad that wasn't just me who thought so.
There is a kernel in here I'm not going to say I find it funny or entertaining, but I do consider it true. And that is, although people who do put Punisher stickers on their vehicles are very much capable of violent, terrible things, frequently as sort of a crime of passion, it is largely, in my opinion, for the most part, a display item, and people who actually engage in planned vigilante crime or vigilante justice do not advertise that they are that sort of people. So I do believe that that is true. All of the bit about if they're wusses or gay or sissies or any of that, I don't care to speak on. We will have to back up for a second. I hadn't realized when I first saw it that it was the guy who shot, it was Luigi, whatever his name is. I'm pissed off that that's the case. I cannot wait for people to move on to their next news obsession. When this first happened, when this man allegedly shot the CEO, you and I discussed it shortly afterwards, and you were very much of a very nice ethical belief of it sucks that somebody shot and killed somebody. End of story. And I can understand that, and I am somebody who has never cheered at someone's death, with the exception of Jerry Falwell. Sorry, I did what I did. But even like when Bin Laden went, I was like, I get why this happened. Maybe it was a necessary thing. Doesn't mean I'm happy that this guy died. And so I feel the same way about this. There was a little revolutionary bit of me that's like, the wealthy don't. I was remembering a bit from a Purge movie that, like, the rich, to get the rich's attention, yet their blood has to spill or whatever. And I'm like, you know, maybe this is, sorry, it's more likely just the start of a further separation between the ultra rich and the rest of us. It's a class warfare situation. Trish was actually theorizing that above a certain socioeconomic level, our society is designed to have no empathy for those people because of all their perceived privilege. And that is the case here, because I'm really tired of people talking about this, especially because they're mostly talking about how fuckable this guy is. And don't get me wrong, he's a very attractive man. I'm not saying I wouldn't. And all feelings are valid. Not all feelings need to be put on Twitter. And the big one, like, I was like, I just think in general, I think fetishizing killers is bad. And I especially think fetishizing killers that are still currently in the process of being brought to justice is gross. And I, you know me, I fetishize all sorts of people and things. But what really hit me is somebody actually, as sort of a joke, brought up, like, the CEO has kids. Like, of some kind. Like, they're still, like, maybe that guy's a shitty guy. Maybe the kids are shitty. Because, I mean, there's a lot of issues with the ultra-wealthy. And, I mean, I understand why the killer did this. Or at least ostensibly why the killer might do this. And this does highlight a thing and all that. And you know, I'm not opposed to genuine class warfare. Even though I would probably be killed immediately. Because things are fucked up. And if somebody wants to overthrow society, go for it. I'll be sad because I live in society, but, you know, I will understand entirely. But those kids have to get online, and not only is their dad dead, but the internet is just full of how much everybody wants to have sex with the dude who did it and loved him. And that's not great. So I would love it if people would just shut up about that. So let's set that one aside. I mean, this is a bad thing, and you should feel bad as you're telling. I don't want to put to that right now. You're a bad person. This is awful. We need to address the fact that the Punisher is Batman without the whimsy. Like, He's Batman if Batman somehow was like the cheerful and funny one, which he's not. He's an obsessed, bleak psycho, and he's fucking Mickey Mouse compared to the Punisher. The Punisher is the worst version of a vigilante crime fighter. Like, because he's the one that's like, yeah, I decide who's good or bad, and I just fucking shoot him. Like, and the only justice is my justice, the only morality is my morality, and I'm very big on revenge, which, as we all know, is just a wonderful thing. And so I fucking kill people, extrajudicially, just on the regular, fuck off. I hate that people put that up on their cars. But, you know, I mean, I also hate Batman. I hate Punisher way more. But it is the same process of, like, so you guys are idolizing this person without really thinking about all the reasons you're idolizing. So I do, and seeing somebody with one of those stickers, I'm like, I don't know if I'm scared. Sometimes. Mostly, I'm just like, I definitely don't want to know that person. What, I mean, in the sense that Luigi Mangione shot and killed a person with no legal justification and did it, you know, against the law, terrorist style, and the Punisher also does that, I guess it does sort of qualify as Punisher shit, but I mean, he's not like this. He hasn't made a career of this or anything, and I don't think if he had somehow not gotten caught, he would have. Like, he doesn't. There's no indication that he is a vigilante crime fighter. He was somebody who wanted to assassinate, again, all allegedly, a particular person and did that. So, I mean, I agree that people who actually want to kill people don't use, like, who actually go through with murdering people extrajudicially don't usually put Punisher stickers on their car, I suppose. And again, I agree with the concept that people who put those stickers are often being falsely demonstrative of their desire to, or their ability, or their plans to murder outside the law. So, true, I guess. And it is, I guess it's funny in the same way, like, when a really dumb kid says they want to be a scientist when they grow up. Like, that's also funny, because some kids are really dumb, and you're like, you have no chance. But it's not something that, like, I would share around. I wouldn't make a meme out of this dumbass kid who thinks he's going to be a scientist when he grows up. Like, I don't know. I'm, yeah, I mean, enjoy it as your talent, I guess. This is a hard one. I want to have more humor about it, but mostly I'm like, oh, I think it's dumb and a little sad and gross and offensive, and there we are. So I feel bad, since he's our, you know, our real number one hardcore listener, but I don't like anything about this, and I also feel bad because I really want to encourage people to send stuff in, but gun to my head, sorry you sent this in. That's probably too much honesty for our brand, but here we are. But, you know, we the hat decides what we speak of, and so we didn't have a choice.
I like that. Too much honesty for our brand. I like that a lot.
I mean, that sounds like a good title.
It does sound like a good title. Yeah. Too much honesty for our brand. Wow. Oh, yeah, something just about that's really making my wheels spin. I really like it for some reason. I don't know.
It's just, yeah, I don't know. It's a bummer, dude. But I'm like, also, I'm gonna put this out there as a talent. Just just for future. I love that you do write in. You write in more than most, and I appreciate that. And sometimes you write in really dumb things, and I make fun of you, and that's fun. You and I have drastically different taste in memes, and I'm not sure it is worth either of our time for you to share memes you think are funny, because you have a few times, and so far you have batted zero with me.
I
And
mean,
that's fine. It doesn't mean I'm better, but you and I now have enough data points to say, as you're telling, you and I have very different tastes in what memes we think are funny.
I could say the same thing, but I think that's true between me and most people, so it doesn't
Yeah,
really.
and like I give you a lot of stuff I think is funny that I know you won't, but that is because I am amused by making you uncomfortable. And if that's what Azhatalan is doing here, like spot on. And
I
I mean,
honestly
I guess
don't.
keep it up if this makes good content. I don't know. I don't know. In a
don't.
lot of ways, our brand is influenced by our listeners, especially because we have so few that each wields a tremendous amount of influence. So if I have misjudged this whole deal, and you're like, and Azertown's like, excellent, this is what I want. This is I wanted to watch them and create cringe comedy. You've done it. And yeah, keep that up then. That works. But yeah, if you thought we would think it was funny, I'm surprised and confused.
Well, I don't. The thing about it, I don't. Of course, as you know, I don't really always even understand what a meme is trying to
No, sorry, you worded that wrong. You always
say.
don't understand what a meme is trying to say.
If he hadn't mentioned homophobia or homosexuals or whatever, I'm not sure I would have even got that part of it. Like this, the guy has a clearly an odd pose or whatever, but I don't know if I would have jumped to the conclusion,
Just
oh,
for
he's
those of
supposed to
you
be
who don't
gay.
have a visual, which is everybody except me and William and Azhtown, the rest of you would have.
Okay.
I'm not saying the guy looks gay. I'm saying the language of meme. It would have been very clear that that's the implication to any of
Okay.
you who aren't William.
I mean, it looks like an uncomfortable posture for sure. But it's like this guy's had back problems. Like, what is it with this guy? I wouldn't have immediately jumped to the conclusion that he was gay.
N literally none of the rest of you would have been confused.
Okay. Well.
Just so we're all clear.
But
But yeah, I did miss that that's who the other guy was. I thought that was just like, yeah, people who would go out and do actual vigilante crime fighting would disguise themselves and not advertise anything, which is true.
yeah.
All right, we got a couple minutes. Let me hit up one of the movies I've seen recently.
Okay.
I watched Trish's idea, actually. We watched a movie that I think we've both seen in the past, like when it came out, and thought it was pretty good at the time. So we sort of rewatched the 90s, the sorry, the 88 film, I think. The Seventh Sign.
Yeah, I've seen that. It's a long time ago, though.
Not to be confused, and a lot of people have been confused what I'm talking about, with Ingmar Bergman's The Seventh Seal.
I've seen both, actually.
Yeah, and that is a lauded as, I have not seen that one, but it is lauded as a masterpiece of a tremendous filmmaker, arguably his famous most famous film. I know very little about it. I just know it is considered a classic and a masterpiece. This is not that film. This is a film in which Jürgen Prochnow goes all over the place, breaking stale Girl Scout cookies to cause highly localized plagues that may bring about the end of everything if Demi Moore's baby, unborn baby, gets involved. It's supposed to be about the apocalypse, the seventh sign, the signs of the apocalypse. It stars Jürgen Prochnow and Demi Moore and Michael Biehn, which I forgot because why would you ever remember that Michael Biehn is in anything?
And stale Girl Scout cookies, as you pointed
the
out.
Most, yeah, they're supposed to be wax seals, but they really just look like a 12-year-old Samoa, and then and all he does is just frequently doesn't open the paper to read the thing or look at it, just throw it away. And so like, and all the fish die on a specific beach on the island of Haiti, or like the rivers turn to blood, a river turn to blood, like they're very local. Anyway, it's about the end of the world. I remembered it fondly. It is aggressively bad. It is bad on a level that they had. You couldn't accidentally make this bad. Like, it is. Their mythology is just all over the place. They're borrowing from a lot of sources, many of which were made up, and they try and mix them together in weird ways. And you have to, because especially when it comes to the New Testament of the Christian Bible, there is surprisingly less than you think there is about the apocalypse. You got to go into a lot of Apocrypha or Judaic texts, things like that. There's not, in the straight old New Testament Bible, not a ton about it. So they pull from a lot of sources. Spoiler alert, also, Jürgen Prochnow is Jesus, which I had forgotten.
I forgot that too.
Like, they don't ever explicitly say it.
Oh, man. Maybe, like, I just missed it.
No, I don't think you did. It's just, it doesn't need to be that way. And it's so weird because Jürgen Prochnow is the creepy German villain from everything. Like, he doesn't ever play a role that's not. I love Jürgen Prochnow, but he's got a type, and he never plays a character that's not creepy. And that's true here as well. And he's freaking Jesus. No, he's the guy going around starting these things, but like, he's a real nice guy, and he clearly feels bad about it, but humanity has. And eventually we learn that he doesn't want to be eradicating humanity, but he has to because his dad, God, has said that this is what's going to happen. And then it also comes up that he came here before, and this is the second time he's been alive on earth. And we have a lot of looking, so it's Jesus. And it's insane. Jürgen Prochnow is Jesus. Anyway, I've already talked more about it than I need to. It's not good. I don't recommend it. You can kind of so bad it's good, because it is kind of funny the weird shit they do. It is very weird because we have pregnant Demi Moore, and it's fake pregnant, although they do a really good job with that effect. And we have a couple of fairly revealing scenes of her naked and pregnant. And I looked it up, and this is like 3 years before she did the famous naked and pregnant cover for like Vanity Fair or whatever. And I was like, this is a weird. This is a strange, like, presaging that famous cover where she's, you know, doing that. So it was just a funny random thing. But yeah, that's it. I don't recommend The Seventh Sign, but it is my duty to tell you all about it. And I have now fulfilled that duty. And also just was surprised. I remember liking it, but
I remember not liking it. I remember liking Seventh Seal.
Yeah, I think Seven Seals is supposedly awesome.
But I haven't, I've really not seen that one in a very, very long time.
If you remember liking The Seventh Sign and you haven't watched it in a while, maybe don't. Just keep it in your heart.
Keep it in your heart.
like I try and do with the original Ghostbusters. All right, that's it for us now. This is part one of two. Too much honesty for our brand. Hopefully we'll remember that to be the title. This is, I believe, our final episode of 2024. So I hope you've all survived That's the nicest thing I can say about it. I mean, and if you haven't and you're a ghost listening, tell us. I'll believe you. The podcast of Oak Island.
Yet another mystery solved by the hosts of the Magical Talking Hat. Do you have a question that begs to be answered? Then please write the hat at themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. That's themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. Also, visit the hat at themagicaltalkinghat.com. The music for this episode was provided by Kevin MacLeod of Incompetech.com.